Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it is one state down, 49 to go. Will Rick Santorum be able to build on his first place tie in Iowa? Let's give that surprisingly surging candidate our first minute today.
People have asked me, well, why do you think you can win? Because we've been told by so many people that there's another candidate in this race who is running a rather close race with me tonight. That is a better person to choose because he can win. Let me tell you, what wins? What did you say? Oh, Romney Care. Okay. I just didn't hear you. What wins? What wins in America are bold ideas, sharp contrasts, and a plan that includes everyone. And a plan that includes people from all across the economic spectrum. A plan that says, we will work together to get America to work.
All right, Rick Santorum from his speech last night. And I guess the rules of the debate are usually if a candidate is attacked by name, he gets to reply. So
we have a 7-person field this time and 3 people in a virtual dead heat. So mathematically, it's hard to get a higher percent. But I'm pleased that we were able to have a good, strong showing here. And actually, a few weeks ago, I was well behind in the polls here. I really think that that Iowa is a big boost for Rick Santorum, for Ron Paul, for myself. We all end up in a stronger position this morning, and I think we're all pretty happy.
Mitt Romney on Good Morning America. Today, Raihan Salam, the agenda blogger for National Review online, and Kate Wells, Iowa Public Radio reporter who was out and about last night, join me now. Good morning, you both. Welcome back.
Thanks for having
us. Good
morning. An 8-vote win for Romney over Santorum, 30,000-something to 30,000-something, Kate. The difference was fewer people than were standing online in front of you to see Alexander McQueen.
Absolutely. I feel like everybody here in Iowa, we're still recovering early this morning from a whiplash from the hours of going back and forth between watching the numbers come in. You know, Brian, it was so interesting at my caucus site. People were putting the chairs away at 7:30, 7:45, but it wasn't until about 2:30 a.m. that we actually had a declared winner.
So the next time, Raihan, you think your individual vote doesn't mean anything, remember Iowa.
In Iowa, it does.
Certainly in Iowa. I absolutely believe that your vote will always count in Iowa.
If this was a traditional election, Kate, they would do an automatic recount with an 8-vote margin, but not in the Iowa caucuses?
You know, I think there was plenty of a recounting last night. I know that the GOP here in this state was very conscious going in that this was going to be a very close race. And they really put out an effort this time to make sure that every precinct and every caucus site was really trying to, you know, dot every I, cross every T. It doesn't look, there's been no talk that I've heard about there being a recount at this point, but there was certainly a lot of people, you know, practically counting on their fingers well into the early morning of hours today.
And of course, a recount would be more important if it was a winner-take-all election, if one of them was going to take office and the other was going to go home, for example. But that's
exactly
not the case here. So, Kate, tell our contestants exactly what they've won.
Well, you know, this is where you hear all of the pundits come in and say, this is, you know, Iowa is just a beauty contest. It's you know, the People's Choice Awards of the caucuses and primaries. This doesn't actually, you know, say how many delegates that will go to the party convention. This is just about, it's essentially a straw poll, except everybody comes out with bigger numbers. So, you know, this is the first time Iowans kind of come out and say, all right, we've had these candidates here in this state for a year. We've heard the pitch. And really what the candidates get to do is they come out now with those results, and they have to sort of craft their narrative going forward to the rest of the states.
Raihan, anything to add to that?
Oh, I think that it was an extraordinary result, and I actually think that in a lot of ways, for the eventual general election candidate of the Republicans, a Romney versus Santorum race is a much, much better race than a Romney versus Gingrich race.
Why?
Well, because these races are shaped by what are the ideological antagonisms between the candidates. And, for example, if you look at Reagan running against George H.W. Bush in 1980, the fact that Bush was Reagan's primary competitor made it a different kind of election and made Reagan a different kind of candidate who felt as though he had to acknowledge some of the anxieties of moderate Republicans who were a much bigger slice of the party back then. Whereas if you look at the, for example, McCain versus Romney race, it didn't have that kind of clear ideological valence. And so one potential possibility is that Romney, in facing off against Santorum rather against someone like Gingrich, is not going to run a race about an idiosyncratic candidate who has a lot of zany ideas, but rather is going to be running against a social conservative who said a lot about, for example, increasing the child tax credit and other measures, family-friendly measures, that other Republican candidates have tended to neglect, and that might make the eventual winner a stronger winner.
Listeners, any comments or questions about the Iowa results last night? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or any comments about what happens next? We have Raihan Salam from National Review and Kate Wells from Iowa Public Radio, 212-433-9692. Or visit our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Raihan, do you know how much money was spent on Romney's behalf and how much on Santorum's in Iowa?
Well, I can certainly tell you that Romney spent a heck of a lot more. But it is also true, as Romney alluded to in his statement, that he really wasn't expecting to campaign, partly because there's been a lot of anxiety in the Romney camp about how his membership in the Church of Latter-day Saints will play out with evangelical voters. And one of the things that separates Iowa's Republican electorate is that it happens to be very socially conservative, very evangelical. This is where Pat Robertson's campaign took off in 1998, and this is one reason why that party has been very distinctive. So I think that Romney's accomplishment, despite having spent a ton of money in the last few weeks, is still pretty impressive for having changed a narrative that had been very solidly established.
Kate, anything from you on that from inside Iowa?
You know, it was interesting to watch as the results came in last night, the word you were getting from Mitt Romney's team. They were just tying themselves in knots, trying to figure out how they were going to spin this if this guy came in third, this guy came in first. And I think you got to be careful if he tries to pull this, gee, shucks, aw, thanks, Iowa. Boy, you really didn't have to do that. This came out of nowhere. I don't think that flies. I was with his campaign in the final stretch, and this guy was all in. I mean, from having every single member of his family felt like hauled up on stage with them every time, to spending, as has already been mentioned, millions of dollars. I think you also got to count all of the money that went out on the air from his, you know, the super PAC that was putting ads out for his benefit. This was a full out campaign, and don't let anybody tell you differently. Just because it sort of came in these last few weeks, that's when a lot of Iowans decided, okay, we really got to buckle down and choose somebody.
Well, that's why I ask about the money, Kate, because with all the super PAC money that was spent on Romney's behalf and Santorum not having very much money, I wonder if anybody has good stats on what the ratio was of dollars spent to promote Romney versus dollars spent to promote Santorum, either on TV or in get out the vote efforts. And whatever that ratio is, it probably makes it that much more remarkable that Santorum tied him.
You also got to remember, though, that as much as the advertising game was playing a big role in Iowa, a lot of it was also focused on defeating people as much as it was elevating others. So while Santorum, you know, did have super PACs,
exactly.
It took down Gingrich just as much as the debates took down Perry. So what you had here at the end of the day, when it came to actually voting for somebody, Santorum had the benefit from a lot of these, as you know, by this point, your listeners can probably say this with me, Christian evangelical voters who have great networks in Iowa, or, you know, your Christian homeschoolers. These are the people who know how to get voters out. So it was not just about advertising dollars for somebody.
And Newt Gingrich, still a fascinating story, even though he came in fourth with 13% of the vote. Santorum and Romney tied with 25% of the vote. And of course, we'll get to Ron Paul, who got 21.5% of the vote. But Newt Gingrich, 13%, way down from his earlier surge. But he has a lot of fight in him. We're going to play about a minute of his post-caucus speech last night. And he is taking it to Romney and Paul by name.
We also have to understand, and this will be a major debate with Congressman Paul, who's had a very good night, and I congratulate him on having done very well. But the fact is, his views on foreign policy I think, are stunningly dangerous for the survival of the United States. An Iranian nuclear weapon is one of the most frightening things we have to confront. If they are going to live in safety, they have to live in a world in which there is no Iranian nuclear weapon, period. Yeah. We'll have one other great debate. And that is whether this party wants a Reagan conservative who helped change Washington in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan and helped change Washington in the 1990s as Speaker of the House, somebody who is into changing Washington, or we want a Massachusetts moderate who, in fact, will be pretty good at managing the decay, but has given no evidence in his years at Massachusetts of any ability to change the culture or change the political structure or change the government.
Gingrich last night. So if anybody thinks this is now a three-way race between the Christian conservative Santorum, the moderate pragmatist Romney, and the libertarian Paul, Gingrich wants everybody to think that it's a four-way race, and he's going to dish it to each and every one of them. Also, remember, one of the big narratives here was all of this negative advertising against Gingrich by both Romney and Ron Paul. And Gingrich saying he was going to run only a positive campaign and only promote himself. Well, he said this last night about what's coming next.
We are not going to go out and run nasty ads. We're not going to go out and run 30-second gotcha ads. We're not. But I do reserve the right to tell the truth.
Raihan Salam, Newt Gingrich.
I thought he sounded pretty petulant last night. And I think that, you know, remember that this was a candidate everyone wrote off, and then suddenly he got a tremendous amount of attention, and he seems to be very upset that that attention has evaporated. And, you know, that's natural to be upset, but, you know, does it make sense to want to harm the eventual nominee? That's an open question. The other thing that I'd mention is that if he wants to attack Mitt Romney as a Massachusetts moderate, I suggest that Newt Gingrich take a careful look at a forthcoming book by a guy named Jeffrey Cabaservice, an historian, called Rule and Ruin, A History of the Moderate Movement in the Republican Party, in which Newt Gingrich plays an interesting and quite prominent role, having been a pretty significant force on the moderate end of the political party. Again, this is a guy who began his career as a Republican activist as a delegate for Nelson Rockefeller. And he was not a child when that happened. He was an adult, a thinking adult, who waged war against the conservative forces at the Republican National Convention back then. And throughout his career as Speaker, he became Speaker on the strength of the support of moderate Republicans, who saw him as one of them. So I've got to say, making these kind of ideological attacks, a little fishy on his part.
But he has an image as a movement conservative. And Kate, I wonder how that looked from within Iowa as Gingrich surged and fell back. My impression of it is that people's general notion of Gingrich going into this was that he is an angry anti-Democrat, which is, I think, one of the things that people are looking for. He's probably most known in the media for going on Sunday talk shows and whatever since he was Speaker. And even when he was Speaker, going after Clinton, trying to impeach him, welfare reform, et cetera, so that he is an angry anti-Democrat. But then, as people started to attack him from within the Republican field, they pointed out his more wonky side, where he made common cause with Nancy Pelosi for 5 minutes on global warming, where he said the things that he said about immigration or Paul Ryan, and, you know, being a social engineer from the right, but that was not people's general impression of Newt Gingrich. They thought of him as an angry conservative until they had to focus on the details.
I actually think it's the reverse, Brian. I think it was a flip-flop. I think you got to remember what it looked like to Iowans. First, Gingrich sort of comes out of nowhere, essentially. And you see the role that he's playing in these debates is he's rising above the fray of everybody else. He's, you know, portraying himself to Iowa voters as this grand master of the GOP, somebody with a lot of experience. You know, remember me from the good old days when the Republicans really had a firm grip on the Capitol. And, you know, the guy who didn't want to, you know, I don't want to go negative. I don't know why these debate moderators are asking us to attack one another. And then he started to, you know, we saw some of the, you know, looser Gingrich ideas come up in these attack ads. And I think people started to remember the baggage. And it's only in the last few days that you've started to see Newt Gingrich get that fire-breathing, angry dragon sense back around him. And I would not want to be Mitt Romney in the next debate. So I think he actually didn't become the fire breather in time. He had the couple of weeks there where he was sort of the walking wounded after these attack ads and was pretty petulant about it. And only now is starting to, you know, really sort of get the fire roiling again.
Petulant is getting bigger by the minute in our daily word cloud. It's just a question of in which direction Gingrich's petulance is aimed on any given day.
Well, that charge started in the 90s. If you
of
look
course.
At House conservatives like Tom Coburn, all of these guys who were waging war against Speaker Gingrich from the political right, and they were calling him petulant back then, too.
Ron Paul came in third last night for people who were watching the returns, like a sporting event. Paul was tied for first most of the night, then fell back a little bit. Again, Romney and Santorum both got 25% of the vote, and Ron Paul got about 21.5%. Here's a half minute of the candidate.
Where we are very successful is reintroducing some ideas the Republicans needed for a long time, and that is... That is the conviction that freedom is popular. I'm waiting for the day when we can say we're all Austrians now. There's nothing to be ashamed of, everything to be satisfied, and be ready and raring to move on to the next stop, which is New Hampshire.
So, Raihan, you have to be pretty deep in the libertarian weeds to know what he means by we're all Austrians now.
Indeed. He's referring to the Austrian School of Economics, Ludwig von Mises, and his various followers. The trouble is that some of these Austrians have gotten Ron Paul into hot water. During the 1980s and early 1990s, Ron Paul, as a lot of us know by now, published a series of newsletters, which some attribute to a guy named Lou Rockwell, who is very much a staunch American Austrian. And Ron Paul has had a tough time distancing himself from some of the more outre views of these Austrian folks. On the other hand, Ron Paul really is right. His emphasis on a foreign policy of some would call strategic independence, some would call isolationism, really has tapped into a rich vein of support among at least some Republican primary voters. And he really has demonstrated that if you zag, everyone else zigs, there is a lot of percentage in that. So I think that it's possible that one thing to keep in mind is that this guy's crusade didn't begin yesterday. He ran for president as a libertarian in 1988, and long before that, he was a sharp critic of Ronald Reagan and the defense buildup and much else. This guy has been doing this for well over 20 years, and now his son is prepared to carry the mantle. As we saw last night in Iowa, his son was a very effective proxy for him. So we're going to keep hearing about the Paul family and their strain of libertarianism for a long time to come.
And that is U.S. Senator Rand Paul. Ron Paul's son. We will continue in a minute with Dante Cheney from Patchwork Nation, who has an incredibly cool map in conjunction with WNYC on our politics website. It's itsafreecountry.org. And I recommend anybody who can go to your computer now, go to itsafreecountry.org and look at this county by county in Iowa map, which will continue to break down the results along the lines of and forecast from there how New Hampshire and South Carolina and other states might actually vote by demographic and by psychographic. This is going to be really interesting, and the map is incredible. Go to itsafreecountry.org to check it out. And we thank Raihan Salam, who writes the Agenda blog for National Review Online, and Kate Wells, Iowa Public Radio reporter. Kate, what happens to you for the next 4 years? You have to go back to doing local stuff and the whole rest of the world media won't be beating a path to your door.
We won't even know what to do here, Brian. We're going to have to readjust to not being the prettiest girl at the dance. It's going to be tough. I'm feeling a lot of resentment already from New Hampshire and South Carolina.
Are you going to be a swing state in November, do you think?
You know, it's going to be interesting. You watch when Iowa broadens to really having the full state vote, it goes much more Democratic 5 out of the last 6 elections. So, you know, watch for some surprises in Iowa.
Kate Wells, Raihan Salam, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Dante Cheney next as our coverage continues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.